I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. God has blessed us with a beautiful day, and he's also blessed us with the opportunity where we can assemble ourselves in his house of worship and nourish our souls from his word. But before we go for some songs in the service this morning, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We rejoice in it because of your goodness and mercy toward us. Thank you for life with all of its privileges. We pray for the grace that we need to face its responsibilities. Thank you for a country where we can so freely worship you and proclaim the gospel. And may you find us worthy enough that we can continue to do so. We pray for our government leaders that you have put in place in our country. May they realize that the laws that they are putting in place will only further decay our country. And yet, Lord, we know that you govern the whole world and you don't make any mistakes. Thank you for the many blessings you give us. We ask that you will be with us in spirit here this morning and guide our morning service. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 342, Take Time to Be Holy. Number 342, and I invite you to stand.
Time to be holy, then
Number 398, channels only. 398. Number 447, send the light. 447.
Offering at the cross, feeling, send the light.
Yes, we are that light that is supposed to shine in this dark world. This morning, I want to take some time and talk about a man that we find in the Old Testament. And his name is Samson. And I think most of us, or all of us, know that Samson was a man that was known for his great power, his great strength. But Samson also had a weakness. I know it says he was very powerful, but the weakness that he had was greater than his power, than his strength. Yes, Samson struggled to do the right thing. In that respect, he was no different than we are today. Our struggles may be different, and we don't all have the same struggles. And yet, we might be surprised how similar our struggles are as to Samson's. First of all, we want to talk about Samson, and then we want to talk about God's grace. God's grace that does not give us the freedom to live in sin. And how the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh can be our downfall. And we know that the lust of the eye or lust of the flesh is known as a sinful condition that will negatively affect our lives physically and spiritually. I want to go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 18. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." It's when we take a brief look at Samson, we find that this story is recorded in the book of Judges. It was a time when the Israelites had fallen capture to the Philistines because of their disobedience. Now it was a time when an angel of the Lord came to Manoah and his wife, saying that a son would be born to them. And we find that in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, verse 5. Says, we'll start with verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Story runs very parallel to the birth of Jesus Christ, where Jesus also was born to deliver us from this evil world. And whereas here, this child that was to be born was to deliver them from the Philistines. Now, Samson grew in physical strength, his inner strength became weaker and weaker. And when he was of age, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, ruled his life. He saw a Philistine woman that pleased him, but he knew it was against Jewish custom to marry a non-Jewish woman. And when this woman was denied him by the Philistines, he became very angry. We find that in Judges 15. Judges 15, starting with verse 1. But it came to pass within a while, after in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. So he married this woman and said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. So, in a sense, we can, you know, understand Samson. His wife had been taken away, and his father-in-law wanted to give him another, her sister. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail. In other words, he probably tied their tails together and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And he lighted the tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards in olives. So we can see that he must have done a lot of damage. He caught, it says there, 300 foxes, and he set them into the fields burning. And during this time, when Samson was around, Israel had no king, but they were ruled by judges. And Samson was one of those judges. He judged the children of Israel for 20 years. And so a little later on in his life, when he was one of the judges, he fell in love with another Philistine woman. And her name was Delilah. And once again, Samson knew this was forbidden by Jewish customs. The Jewish customs, or their laws, were given to the people by God, teaching them how to live and also teaching them what was required from him or from them. Now, Samson was not bound by the laws or the customs of the Philistines or any other heathen nation, but he was required to be obedient to the Jewish customs. But because of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, he was disobedient. But coming back to Delilah, Samson had a selfish heart. Yes, he followed the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. Now, as long as his hair was uncut, Samson had tremendous strength. He killed many Philistines, and he caused much destruction for the enemy because the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, the Philistine rulers, they wanted to know where he got his strength. So they gave Delilah a large sum of money so that she would go and find out what his strength was and where he got his strength from. But Samson avoided her questions for quite a while. But eventually, he did give in. In Judges 16, verses 17 to 20. Then he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath shewed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now Samson had become a prisoner. Yes, they put out his eyes. But after a time, his hair began to grow back, and his strength returned. And one day the Philistines put on a big feast in their temple to their gods for delivering Samson into their hands. And Samson asked a young lad to lead him to the 2 main pillars of the temple. Find Judges 16, verse 26 to 30. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes." And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. This was a sad end for a man who had been so blessed by God, and a man that had so much potential. But the lust, his selfish desires, destroyed him. Yes, here was a man who was held captive by a force that was contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. So where do we fit into this story of Samson? We may ask, why did Samson allow himself to be destroyed by sin? We must remember that we are as vulnerable as Samson was. The devil is still in the business of destroying people's lives by sin. And I know that all of us here this morning have so much potential and so much to offer, but we have to beware of the snares that Satan is putting out there for us as well. We need to be careful of the choices that we make. We need to be careful who influences us, the company that we keep. And going back to Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, where he says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Paul reminds us here that as believers, we now have a new power. We have a power that controls us unto righteousness. We have a power that controls our words, our actions, and even our thoughts. Now, this does not mean that we will be perfect or that we will never fail. But yet, we still have to be careful which spirit controls our lives. Yes, when we do fall, we always know that we can go back and ask for forgiveness. And being born again, this new life that we live, we will not live willfully in sin anymore. Yes, Samson unwillingly allowed sin, or I should say willingly allowed sin to control his life. As it led to his downfall. And going to verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." So what does this mean when we are not under the law, but under grace? This simply means that we do not follow the Mosaic law anymore in order to receive God's salvation. God's salvation has already been given to us by his grace. And we know what grace is. Yes, the Lord and Savior Jesus has made one final sacrifice when he died on the cross on our behalf. Yes, he pardoned us from all our wrongdoing, although we now have been changed within. This does not mean that we do not have to follow the guidelines in Scripture. We still need to follow the commands of Scripture, especially the ones that we find in the New Testament relating to a new life in Christ. And as our sins have been washed away, the Holy Spirit, which now lives in us, enables or empowers us to live under the new covenant with the ability to submit to God and to his teachings of the New Testament. Going back to Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Grace does not mean that we are now free to live as we want to. We are now free to sin if we want to because we are covered by grace. That is not what it means. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Is a question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So the idea of grace is not that now we can freely sin because the grace is there to cover us. It would be no different than we injure ourselves on purpose because we know there's a doctor that will fix it. We try to avoid injury. And likewise, we try to avoid sin. Yes, grace should always be our motivation for holy living. And the sacrifice that Christ made for us should give us a desire for godly living. And just as Samson had all these distractions, we are living in the same world that he lived in. Satan is still in this world as he was then, also trying to distract us from God's grace, trying to lead us into sin by the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. And I'm sure we all have to admit that we are guilty of that. But there's a little bit of a difference here. Samson followed the lust of the eye and lust of the flesh, and he finished off this sin. And these temptations will come to us. They can't be avoided. The same as when Jesus Christ had been fasting. Satan came to him with temptations. But what is important is what are we doing with these temptations when they come to us? Do we fulfill them? Or are we like Jesus and tell Satan to get thee hence? Yes, God has made everything possible for this. And we are not alone in facing these temptations. The Holy Spirit that is within us will resist. It is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus used to resist the temptations of the devil. We are a privileged people that God would count us worthy to be his children. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of our service this morning, we thank you for not only your presence, but in also leading and guiding us. You know what this day holds for us. You know what we will need and are already making provisions for those needs. Help us to see your hand at work. So often we have looked at situations from a human point of view. We have failed to remember your divine presence. Lord, we pray especially for those that are struggling with the sin of the lust of the flesh and the eye. May they come to you for the strength to overcome these sins, which you so willingly offer to forgive. Yes, These lusts are a bondage to Satan, but Jesus has defeated Satan, and so there is victory to overcome and have the freedom, peace, and joy that Jesus has for us. Lord, we also pray for those that have lost loved ones. Comfort them. May those that are struggling find peace in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. So whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us. I want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our morning service and song and prayer. The Lord will truly bless you for that. On behalf of Merle and myself, I want to wish you a blessed new year. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.